Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Yep.
Today we're going to be talking about the second serial of the second season. Nope.
Of the second Doctor.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. That's not at all right. Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the second season of Doctor Who, The Rescue, which consists of two episodes. That's not a lot. That's only two.
One less than three.
The Powerful Enemy and Desperate Measures, which aired from January 2nd, 1965 to January 9th, 1965. This is the shortest serial we've done other than The Edge of Destruction.
It's the same length as Edge of Destruction.
Yes, it's the same exact.
They're both small.
Though we will have a shorter serial coming up.
There's one that's just one?
In season three, it's called Mission to the Unknown or The Dalek Cutaway. It's only one episode.
Is that the one that confused people? Is that
it's basically setting up a 12-episode serial.
I'm not ready for that.
All right, so before we get into talking about The Rescue, I just want to give a little update and say that, I was right. Okay, we're going back two podcasts to Planet of Giants.
Yes, I was two podcasts ago, I was wrong. In Planet of Giants, we had like a 5-minute conversation about Thomas the Tank Engine. I apparently don't remember it as well as I think. And the tiny conductor, or whoever he is, interacted with the real life people.
He talked to children and stuff, yeah.
I guess.
It was...
So says the Thomas the Tank Engine Wikipedia page.
Yes. I messed up too. I think I said Smiling Time Station when it's actually Shining Time Station. But I was thinking of Angel, Smile Time, I guess. But, yeah, it's true. There was a tiny George Carlin that replaced a tiny Ringo Starr.
So, Doctor Who? Can we talk about Doctor Who, maybe? Can we talk about the episode?
I'm just saying,
or
Ringo Starr
watched it,
regenerated into George Carlin.
We watched these two episodes. These people want to hear about what happened in them.
I think they would rather hear about how I was right and you were wrong. Okay, let's talk about Doctor Who, I guess, if that's what you people want to hear. What do you think this is, a Doctor Who podcast or something?
You know, this only shows how, like, infrequently you're right.
That's probably true.
So,
that's another thing you're right about.
The Rescue!
The Rescue! First episode, The Powerful Enemy! Ba-ba-ba! We start off and we see a tin can ship that's been smashed into some rocks. It's a crash ship that seems to have a palm tree outside of it. Inside the ship we meet Vicky with an I, which she very clearly spells out later in the episode. So
she wants you to know how to spell her name because she's going to be important.
Also on the ship is a guy who seems to be kind of sick and stuff. His name is Bennett. And there's a signal coming that says like something's there, and it's the TARDIS, but like Vicky's like, the rescue ship must have gotten here early.
They've crash landed and they're waiting on a rescue ship, and her equipment is telling her that there's a ship there. She's like, oh, it's the rescue ship, they're coming.
And Bennett's
very excited about it and very cute, running around like, the rescue ship, it's already here. And Bennett doesn't care.
Yeah, Bennett's like, it must be a fault. Which I'm gonna go ahead and spoil you guys.
Why?
A little bit. I'm just going to say, Vicky is the new companion.
What?
Oh, my God.
Because
I'm going to bring that up now because I'm going to be making comments about how she's obviously a replacement for Susan. And the first indicator of her being a replacement for Susan is that she says, hey, this thing is happening. And a male character says, no, it isn't. You must be wrong.
You must be mistaken.
Must be a fault. That's literally a line that Bennett says, which is an exact line that the doctor said to Susan about the TARDIS going boopity boopity boop.
What's that the TARDIS is?
Boopity boopity boop.
So, but yeah, he's like, call them, because it's not them, and so she does. She, like, makes contact with the rescue ship. And they're like, yeah, we're still forever away. Hang on. She's like, okay, well then what's this blimp thing that's showing up?
And he makes a reference to, watch out for the Coquillion.
Like, that's something scary. Probably.
Just drops it in there casually. But yeah, okay, so it's the TARDIS, and we cut to the TARDIS. Barbara and Ian are both surprised that they've landed, because the doctor's just
He's sleeping! He's asleep, and they're like, I've just noticed that the column thingy in the middle there isn't doing its normal thing. You think we've,
It's not shushunkashunkin. Shushunk, shushunk. You know?
God, I hope you do more sound
effects. Very inaccurate sound effects.
They're like, do you think we've landed? And Ian and Barbara were kind of like, we've never landed while the doctor's just been asleep before.
Usually he's like pressing buttons and shit.
Normally he's making things happen, and does he even fly this thing? Or is it flying it? Which I kind of, is my pet theory that the TARDIS just does what it wants.
But the doctor wakes up and they're like, he's like, oh yeah, we totally landed. I set a thing so that, I'm in control here.
I could now. Which, jumping ahead slightly, there is a point where the doctor kind of realizes where they are. And he's like, ah, I've been here before. I love it here. And then he kind of goes, he's like by himself in the TARDIS. And he's like, I wonder if I could convince Ian that I did it on purpose. He's like, I was asleep. I can't. Darn. But, like, he has this moment of, oh, I've totally been here before. I could maybe trick Ian into being like, hey, want to see this? Want to see this place I've been here before? Yeah, I totally set it for here. And then he's like, nah, he'd never buy it. Which is everything I love about the first Doctor.
So, they look out and they're like, I don't know where we are. Looks like a cave. Because of course it's a cave. It's always a cave.
And the doctor has this line about, if it is a cave, we should probably be careful, because we know we have not had the best track record with caves. And I was like, Doctor, that's the truest thing you've ever said.
This show getting meta.
It's becoming self-aware. When they landed and
The show's become self-aware, but the doctor is a little less so, because he's like, hey, Susan, go open the... Oh, no.
Oh, it was sad. But then Ian and Barbara just kind of both are like, hey, let's distract you.
Barbara's like, maybe you can show me how to open the doors.
And it's so cute, because he does. He teaches Barbara how to open the doors, and she's like, see, I can do it. We can help you out here. And the doctor's kind of proud of her, and it's so nice. It's very nice.
Yeah, they're really, Ian and Barbara are really cute. Until they get outside of the TARDIS. And Ian just, like, makes the rudest, like, is the doctor getting old and senile? And, like, does this, like
hand gesture
where, like, he's being old by shaking his clawed hand. And going, is he old?
The doctor's like, old, not deaf. I'm gonna put behind you. Thanks, asshole.
They look around a bit. They completely fail to notice a dramatically lit cockroach monster that's just standing next to the TARDIS.
I like the cockroach monster. He's kind of badass.
He is the Coquillion. Coquillion.
They are, in fact, in a cave, though, right? Is that, am I remembering it correctly?
Yeah, they're kind of like underground, but yeah, it's a cave. Because, like, they do see out of the cave. Because they're tooling around, Ian and Barbara.
Okay.
They see, they're like up on this ledge and they see the crashed ship that Vicky is in. And they're like, well, let's go back and tell the doctor. Because the doctor goes back inside the TARDIS for whatever reason. I don't know.
I don't remember why he goes back inside the TARDIS.
I think he maybe went back in to nap.
He's like, well.
I didn't get enough, quite enough sleep.
Seen one cave, you've seen them all, so.
And they're probably the same set.
Joe said when we were watching, he was like, caves were the quarry of their day, weren't they?
What I know about Classic Who is that they filmed in quarries all the time, which I think Dalek Invasion of Earth had their first quarry, but yeah. In the first Doctor, it's just straight up caves.
Caves, every time. Every time a cave.
But yeah, so they're like, well, let's go back and tell the Doctor that we found this ship, and they bump into the Coquillion, the big bug dude.
I don't even know how to describe the, like, costume besides how you already have.
It's a giant cockroach.
It's a big bug costume looking thing with, it's very spiky. It's a very pointy kind of costume with like stalk bug eyes.
And he's got like this like stick thing. It's like a weapon of some sort.
Ian and Barbara are separated at this point, aren't
they? Well, okay. Well, not yet. They talk to the bug thing a little bit. And, like, Ian just starts blabbing everything.
The Coquillion. The bug guy. The Coquillion's like, hey, is it just the two of you? And Ian's like, nah, there's some other guy in the ship. And Barbara, like, smacks him, like, are you kidding me? What? If someone asks you if it's just you, you lie. God damn it, Ian.
And if someone asks if you're a god, you say yes. But yeah, like, the bug's like, well, go get him. So Ian goes to go get him, but, like, then the bug steps in the way and won't let Barbara go past. That's how they get separated.
That's right. The bug won't let Barbara go with. And then, he's, like, walking menacingly towards Barbara and is like, why are you freaking out? Why are you walking away from me? I'm your friend. Hey, why are you freaking out? I'm gonna push you over the edge of this cliff.
Like... shoves her right over the edge.
Like, literally, I think he's saying, like, I'm a friend! Shove.
Then he, like, turns around and, like, causes the cave entrance to collapse with his, like, sticky stick.
He's got a staff, which also kind of looks like a bug, right? It's got, like, a head on it or something.
It's got, like, yeah, I mean, it looks more like a cane or whatever than a stick.
Yeah, but it's weapon.
It's a little thing that goes, woo, 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 and then stuff falls.
Nothing makes any of these sounds.
And then rocks start falling. Ian falls because...
he's Ian.
There's a lot of falling. Barbara falls off the edge. Ian falls and rocks. It's a whole thing. Oh, and we see Barbara at the foot of the cliff that she fell off of. And she has, like, one singular branch.
She has, like, oh no, a branch fell on Barbara. Half of a branch from a tree very delicately was placed on top of her.
My theory is that she fell, grabbed the branch.
No, it's not a theory. She says it.
No, does she?
She has a line where it's like, oh, I probably did that when I grabbed that branch to break my fall. Like, they made sure that you knew that that's how that branch got there and why it was on top of her.
Well, that's okay then. I'm all right with that. That's kind of clever.
Good?
Yeah. Right. I mean, they set that up.
Yeah.
That's good. It wasn't just like, oh, we gotta make it look more dangerous and throw a branch on her. That branch saved her. That's like, that's what it's saying. It like stopped her from
it's
falling
there.
Hardcore.
It's there for a reason. It's just very silly.
Yeah, and then Ian and the doctor are like, well, we gotta try to find a way back to there to get Barbara. That's when the doctor says the thing about caves not being...
yes.
He also makes some joke about not having a degree. What was that?
Ian says something about needing medical attention or someone needing medical help. And he was like, it's a shame that that's, like, I never got that degree. Well, like, the implication, I feel like, is that the doctor has a bunch of degrees, but an actual, like, medical license is not one of them. It's, like, the only one he doesn't have.
It's on his list.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and call myself the doctor and never actually get... I mean, I don't know how, like, Time Lord school works, so... And I'm sure at some point it's been at least somewhat established. I have no idea.
Then we cut back to Vicky in the ship, and she's, like, coming into the ship. Coquillion follows, comes in, and is like, hey, what are you doing outside of the ship?
Where were you? Like, I noticed that you were walking outside of the ship, and she's like,
I collect stones.
She does say that.
Look, I got this one, and this one looks like it has a face on it.
This one looks like a cat.
This one reminded me of you, Coquillion. You keep that, buddy.
This one has Ian's energy.
She hasn't met Ian yet.
That's a callback to when we fish were doing it with Fish and Marco Polo. Marco Polo. Yeah. Remember that, guys?
Oh, Tagana. I have fond memories of Tagana.
So, Vicky's showing off her rock collection. That's not true. That doesn't ever actually happen. We're making jokes.
Yeah, well, she does. She shows, like, a rock, I think.
Does she have a rock?
I think she has a rock.
I want to see Vicky's rock collection. I'm now more interested in this than anything else.
So, Coquillion's all like, all right, well, peace out. I'm going to go talk to Bennett and find out some things. And then he leaves. And then we find out that Vicky not only collects stones, she also collects Barbara.
Yes, the Coquillion guy's gone into the next room and she kind of flips this blanket up and is like...
cleverly hidden.
Yeah. She's on, like, that big person-shaped blanket over there. Don't look over there. But she flips this blanket up and is like, and there's Barbara. And I guess she found her, and that's when she gives a little explanation of, good thing I had that branch or whatever. Vicky explains to Barbara that, like, she gets out, and she's like, she can't see you. But they, like, get out and, like, sit down at a table and, like, talk. And I'm like, he's just in the other room. You're being way too casual. Like, maybe stay in there until he's gone.
Yeah.
You're making me anxious.
While they're talking, Vicky sets up the fact that she has a flare gun. Yeah, I'm not too worried about Coquillion, because once this rescue ship comes here in, I'm going to signal him with this flare gun, and we're going to be great. We're going to be fine.
Everything's going to be fine. You just got to sit tight, be patient. Then he comes back.
Well, Coquillion doesn't come back. Bennett comes in and is like, yo, I withstood all that torture, but I didn't give up no info. Apparently some people landed, and a bug dude took care of him, like,
well,
got
yeah,
rid of
Bennett
him.
Bennett basically is like, yeah, he... No.
Yeah, he says.
But doesn't Coquillion say that?
Well, Coquillion, I think, says that too.
Or no, Coquillion, you're right, Bennett comes out.
Bennett comes out and is like, yeah.
He's left.
Like, Coquillion's gone.
Yeah.
Coquillion
that makes sense
because
of reasons.
Yeah, Coquillion, like, killed the people that showed up, so, yeah.
And he says that while Barbara's hiding, and, like, Vicky gets Barbara back out and, like, didn't you hear that? Like,
well, no, like, Vicky's me, like, Coquillion didn't kill all of them. Ba-ba! Surprise!
I got this one!
I'm gonna put her in my collection. And then, like, Bennett seems a bit uncomfortable about this, but maybe that's just the torture.
Maybe. Probably. Maybe.
Maybe.
We don't... Maybe.
Foreshadowing.
Is something maybe up with Bennett, maybe?
So, meanwhile... The Doctor and Ian are just making their way around the cave. Honestly, this whole plot line is a little bit pointless, but they're being really adorable, though, like, the entire time, just, like, I don't know, they're just being funny and cute and making jokes, and it's...
I'm trying to think of, like, an example.
Well, there's, like, the Doctor spots something beneath them, and hears a sound, and he's like, what is that? And, like, Ian just straight up shines this flashlight right in the Doctor's face, and the Doctor's like, down there, dummy. That sort of thing.
It's very cute.
And there's this whole, like...
They're getting closer, and it makes me happy.
Yeah. There's this whole, like, Ian, like, you cool to go on? And the Doctor's like, I was waiting on you!
Yeah. And Ian's like, okay, sure.
Yeah. We took a break because of me.
It's very cute.
But yeah, the Doc spots something, they look down, and it's like this giant, like...
Alligator bug monster?
Mermaid. And he's a bug monster with, like, a fin. It's, like, it's got, like, it has two front legs. No back legs. It's just got, like, a fin thing.
Yeah.
And then it goes, rawr, and stuff.
I like it. I've liked almost every single, like, creature we've gotten so far. Where I'm like, this isn't the most, like, stunning design ever. But I'm like, yeah, that's reasonably a monster. That's, I mean, I buy it. I believe it.
Yeah, so they're like, well, we can't fall down there. We'll be eaten by this thing. And they find these series of rings, and they're, like, clinging on them. Because it's a very small ledge.
Right. It's one of those things where you're, like, scooting, like, inch by inch because you've only got, like, a little bitty ledge to walk on. And so they're, like, grabbing on. And they're like, hey, there are these rings here. Perfect. It's almost like they were put here on purpose so that we could do this. Or maybe be a trap. I don't know.
Okay.
It
doesn't make any sense that there's a trap here. I won't say why yet. We'll get back to it eventually. But it doesn't make sense that there's a trap. Anyway.
You pull on these rings. I mean, we should explain why it's a trap. You pull on these rings and it makes spikes go phew,
yeah, they pull
out of the
one
wall.
And the ring comes off and Ian falls. And then, yeah, spikes come out.
So the Ian is now on one side of the spikes. And the Doctor is now on the other side of the spikes. And there
and
are several
more
spikes.
More spikes coming out. It's going to push Ian into...
Off of the cliff, off of the little tiny cliff that he's on, and
into the pit of Merbug.
Merbug, I like it.
Merbug?
Hmm.
Merbug. And that is...
Wait, that thing has a name.
Does it? Oh!
Well.
It's like Sandy or something.
Okay, we'll get
that's,
to it.
That's the cliffhanger for The Powerful Enemy! And we are now on to the final episode.
That was quick.
Yeah. Desperate Measures! Which begins with Ian swinging around the spikes with his coat.
Yeah, he basically puts his coat over the spikes because he touches them. He puts his hand, like, right on them, like, over them, touching them. And he's like,
it's
those
crazy.
Yeah, those are razor sharp. And it's like, then why are you holding it like it's a mug? But he throws his coat over him, and he kind of uses his coat to, like, hold on, so that he can hold on to them and get to the other side. And that's it. That was a terrible trap. It was there for cliffhanger. And doesn't make any sense otherwise.
And then they put the ring back on the wall, and the spikes go away.
The spikes, yeah.
But then we come back to Vicky and Barbara and Bennett, and Bennett is waking up from having passed out or something, which I don't remember him passing out at all. Maybe I just zoned out, but
Well, that happens kind of a lot where I feel like stuff gets cut. Like, I was watching Planet of the Giants because I was just jiffing it recently. There's a scene that is, like, Ian going, all right, we're going to take you back to the TARDIS, Barbara, and Barbara being like, okay. And then it cuts to, like, the B-plot, and then it cuts back, and it's Ian going, someone tell her we have to take her to the TARDIS. And the Doctor being like, no, I'm not going to tell her that. She's right. We're going to stay here. And it's like, oh, that actual conversation isn't in there. We cut away from, yeah, no, it's fine, let's go. And back to, no, I'm not. And, like, you never actually see that conversation. Unless I was just watching, like, a weird version of it.
Well, I mean, they're also, it was cut down from two episodes to one.
But I feel like that happens a lot, where sometimes you're like, and you don't notice it right away, but, like, stuff might have gotten cut, and you're like, there's probably something in the middle there. I don't know.
Yeah, like, it seemed like maybe they had a cliffhanger for them, but I don't know, I just don't remember. But anyway, they're like...
Which Bennett, by the way, is very ill. I guess he can't
walk. Well,
he
just got tortured.
Yes, he just got, but he can't walk. Like, that's set up because.
Well, I mean, he stumbled into the room. He can walk, kind of.
Okay. But not well. Not well on his own.
And anyway, they're like, so, hey, Bennett, Coquillion doesn't know Barbara is here. Set up a trap. Set up a trap for Coquillion. Set up a trap.
Yeah. Good plan.
Yeah.
You think so?
Like, no. No thanks.
No. What if
maybe later.
Didn't set up a trap? Bennett's whole thing is he's like, look, the rescue ship is coming. Let's do nothing until the rescue ship gets here. And Barbara's like, but why though?
But why not get rid of Coquillion? But Bennett's like, don't worry about it. Shh. So, they're like, all right.
We'll just wait.
Barbara set the table. So, they, I don't know, a little montage goes by, like, Barbara's setting up the table, and Vicky's outside, I don't know, picking flowers or
rocks. Looking for rocks.
Getting her rocks.
No, but she actually brings food out there. She's going out there to feed.
Well, yeah, but, yeah.
Okay.
You're
all
spoiling.
Right. I'm spoiling it. Let's set it up.
So.
Paint us a word picture or whatever.
Like, Vicky's just hanging out outside, and there's a cave opening, and we see the merbug. I mean, I don't know if it's the same merbug or if it's a different merbug.
I mean, how many merbugs do you think there are?
I mean, it could be a planet full of merbugs. You see one dog in an episode, and then you see, like, a dog later, and not necessarily the same dog. There could be multiple dogs.
I just think it's the same one.
It could be the same merbug. Anyways, the merbug's coming out towards Vicky.
And Vicky doesn't see it.
Vicky doesn't see it.
Barbara sees it.
And she's, like, getting, like, dishes and stuff and, like, which, I don't know, is conveniently next to the flare gun.
You know, the flare gun cabinet where you keep the flare gun next to the cups.
Next to the good china. And she gets the flare gun and she's like, Vicky, look out! And Vicky's like, no, don't! And Barbara straight up shoots the merbug. And Vicky's like, you horrible person.
You murdered my dog.
Yeah, you murdered my mer-dog.
That was my mer-dog, Sandy, and you said mer-dog.
You murdered my mer-dog.
And Barbara doesn't, I mean, she's upset.
My bad.
She's not upset. And she's kind of like, well, how was I supposed to know? It was coming at you, and it looked scary, so I shot it. Like, she doesn't say sorry right away.
Yeah,
Barbara,
like,
maybe be, like, more, you killed her dog. Like,
you killed her giant, creepy-looking dog. And she's, but yeah, she's like, I was feeding Sandy. Its name is Sandy.
Its name is Sandy.
Sandy the mer-bug dog. Mer-dog-bug.
I think it also, like, the creature has a name. It's like a sand something. But I don't know.
But,
I really appreciate this scene for a couple of reasons. One, makes me so angry in anything where, like, heroes or whatever will show up at a place and they're like, well, that one's ugly, I'm gonna shoot it. Like, if you, like, come up on a fight and two people are fighting and you're always like, I'm gonna help the one that looks more human. That has always bothered me.
They address that in an Angel episode, remember?
They do, yeah.
Like, he kills this one, like, monster demon thing, and then it turns out that was the good guy.
And he just feels like shit, because he's shit. Racist.
Anyway, like, Vicky is upset, and, like, starts crying, and Barbara's like, and then the doctor and Ian come into the ship, and they're like, Barbara! They're, like, all, like, hugging and reuniting while Vicky is crying in the foreground. It's super awkward.
Because Sandy's just been shot. Sandy, who is, like, she's on this, she crash-landed on this planet. Bennett's kind of a jerk. Sandy is probably, like, the only interaction that she enjoys. It's probably the only real companionship she has. And Barbara just shot it.
She straight up murdered it. And then, Coquillion comes out of this door in the cave that the doctor and Ian passed by earlier, but are like, we can't bother to deal with this because we gotta find Barbara.
Yeah, they're like, huh, that's definitely a door. And Ian and the doctor are like, yep, that's a door, but we don't want to deal with it right now. We should just keep going this way.
And the Coquillion sees the doctor and Ian's footprints. So Coquillion's on their trail. Ba-ba-ba-ba. But then, I mean, yeah, then Vicky is, like, mad and yelling and upset, and the doctor basically tries to calm her down.
And he does.
He becomes a grandfather.
It's kind of precious, because the doctor kind of is like, I'm a dog to her. And he and Barbara are like, okay. Like, you've never been, like, particularly great at this, but yeah, you go for it.
Yeah.
But he does, like, they have a chat, and the doctor's very familiar with her, I feel like. He's kind of like, why don't you just talk to Barbara? Like, you know she didn't do it on purpose, she was trying to protect you. I think if you kind of talk with her about it, you'll feel better. And Vicky's kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess. And the doctor's like, do it for me. And Vicky's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's cute, but also, like, you guys are just meeting.
And then the doctor's like, I'm going to sort all this out. I'm going to go talk to Bennett, and we're going to get this all settled.
Because the doctor's like, why are you waiting for this shit? Like.
But, so he goes to do that. Then there's a scene with, like, I keep saying Susan. Vicky.
Oh.
Vicky.
Oh. Okay, see, that's another, but that's
yet another hint that she's replacing Susan, is that the doctor becomes grandfatherly towards Vicky because she's the new Susan.
She's the new Susan. Which, I'm hoping that she's not. I don't know, but like.
I don't recall. I mean, it's kind of a blur.
I'm worried that they, like, she's at similar age. I'm worried that they're just going to be like, yeah, this is Susan.
And she's also kind of like from the future, so she's not like. Like Ian and Barbara, sort of contemporary sort of thing. Which, that's the next thing we get, is like them sort of bonding.
That's right.
It's Vicky and
I immediately Ian and love this dynamic, like immediately. Because basically, Ian and Barbara end up telling Vicky that they're from the future.
Well, they're not from, what?
They're from the future.
they're from the past.
I don't understand
past.
Time they've established this.
Because Vicky is from 2493. Ian and Barbara are from 1963, 64, right. Whatever.
But so they're like, yeah, we're from the past. We got here in a time machine. And she's like, okay, first of all, bullshit. She's like, I don't believe you guys. She's like, yeah, we're from the 60s. And they're like, okay, they didn't have time machines in the 60s. They didn't know anything. And Ian's like, rude? We knew plenty of stuff. We're not, I mean, like, it's all very bantery and cute. And Vicky has this line where she's like, if you guys are from the 60s, that makes you, like, 500 years old. And Barbara looks like she just threw up a little bit, which pleases Ian. Barbara's like, I guess if you think about it that way, which you shouldn't.
And Ian makes some joke, probably, like, you look good for a 500-year-old or something. Yeah. And then she just, like, straight up elbows him.
She ribs him, like, all right, that's enough. That's enough of you. It's very, very, it's very cute. Right off the bat, I'm like, this is going to be a good TARDIS team. I'm like this.
So far, this episode has had a lot of good just characters, like, talking and hanging out. And
there's been a good dynamic between everybody, I feel like.
Yeah, it fits together nicely. Anyway, the doctor can't get into Bennett's room, breaks down the door, well, doesn't, like, not violently, just, like, shoves it a bit. And he goes in there, and no one's in there. And
there's a trapdoor.
Well, first he opened the door, and you hear Bennett saying, "Don't come in."
Which, by the way, there's like several times throughout the episode, people have tried to go into Bennett's room, and like the door opens, but not all the way, and you hear Bennett saying, "Don't come in here." This happens once or twice previously in the episode.
I'm masturbating. It's Bennett time. But the doctor's like, "Screw you," and comes in anyway, pervert. And then, but yeah, there's no one in there. He finds the recording of Bennett saying that. Apparently, the front of the ship is like bugged because he can hear Ian and Barbara and Vicky talking about him, right?
Yeah. What do they say about him?
I don't know. Probably that he's a great guy.
I think they're talking about time travel, and it's Vicky saying time travel's impossible. And the doctor just kind of laughs, like, "Silly child. Of course time travel's possible. I'm magnificent."
Yeah, but then the doctor finds a trapdoor in the floor, goes through it, winds up in this incredibly beautiful, moody set piece. It's this temple.
It's one of the best shots that we've seen far.
It's beautiful. The camera work, everything.
It's they're in this cave. And it's foggy, right?
It's foggy. There's pillars. There's a giant table, like a throne thing.
And I feel like we haven't talked about this enough. We mentioned that the doctor is like, "I've been here before. I loved it here." He's like, "The people were awesome. There's only like 100 of them, so they're all super peaceful because you gotta be when there's only like 100 of you." And they can't figure out why Quillian is such a dick.
Oh, by the way, the name of this planet is Dido, by the way.
Dido, which is Dido. What I like. Mm-hmm. Dido. It's fun to say. He's in this moody, foggy cave with these pillars, and it's just freaking gorgeous.
And the music is
fits
amazing.
Fits so well.
Yeah. I think it's actually reused music from the Daleks, but it works beautifully for this scene, even if it is. Basically, the doctor's like going around and he figures stuff out. Quillian comes in.
You see him from coming out of the mist from behind the doctor.
And the doctor is not looking at him, but like knows he's there, basically, and just starts talking to him like, "I know what's going on," sort of thing.
Yeah.
"I know about you. I know what's going on."
No one here knows that.
I'm referencing a video. You're doing stuff. So yeah, he's like, "Take off your mask." The bug Quillian is not a bug. It's a ceremonial garb thing.
Which is like, you know, those clothes are only supposed to be used in, you know, ceremonies. Which is my favorite trope. I love it. I love being like, "What? The thing that we thought was the alien was just the armor? Oh, it's totally different than what I thought." Because it plays with, like...
Not only that, but you think the alien is an alien, but the alien is human. It's an earthling.
Yeah.
It's Bennett. Quillian is Bennett.
Ben is glory.
I was gonna make that joke.
That's why I said it so fast.
Dang it. Bennett just, you know, starts going into his Bond villain thing, but he killed all of the Dido people.
The ship that crashed, we never set any of this stuff up. It's set up in the show. We just forgot to talk about it. When the ship crashed, Quillian killed the whole crew.
Bennett, yeah.
But Vicky, because like they were all invited out to this ceremony, and Vicky was sick, so she stayed on the ship. She's like, the whole crew went to this ceremony with this Quillian, and he killed all of them. They all died. Or no, his people did. All the other Didos. I don't know what they're called. But all the other people did, and Quillian didn't. The story is like Vicky understood it. Now, like, obviously that's not true. It was Bennett. Bennett killed everybody and didn't kill Vicky because she wasn't there, and then didn't kill Vicky after that because she's the new companion?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he needed her for the rescue ship thing or something.
Yeah, I'm not quite certain why.
Someone to fix some food?
Probably.
Do the dishes?
Bennett killed everyone because... Why?
I don't know. It's awful.
He was a prisoner.
I don't remember. He says it all and I've forgotten.
He says it all in his monologue. He was a prisoner, and if he killed everyone, then no one would know that he was a prisoner, and he could just go free?
Something.
You're the one who, what's in your notes?
Nothing. It just says Bennett killed all Didos, and then the doctor says you're insane.
And then Bennett tries to kill the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, is straight up choking him.
It's a fight scene that's
intense.
It's short, but it's really good, especially considering what we've seen.
Yeah. Everything in that whole scene that takes place in that one set is super effective. Like, I'm more scared for the doctor than I have been. And it's just, like, some guy from Earth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Daleks, whatever. I was worried for his safety.
The doc, like, hits his head or something. I don't know, the guy...
He's losing, basically. Yeah. He's basically getting knocked out.
Bennett is, like, coming towards the doctor, and these two dudes just show up. He's like, what? I killed you all. And it's basically two Didos.
He killed all of them, by the way. He didn't just kill all the whole crew. He killed the whole population of the planet.
Or so he thought.
Except for two, apparently.
Maybe more, but...
But he thought... I mean, he thought he wiped out the whole thing. The doctor is just like, so you killed an entire planet to cover up, like, your one crime? What the hell?
And it was, like, a feast thing that they were going to, but, like, they were legitimately being nice, and Bennett just killed
everybody.
But, yeah, like, he's, like, freaking out, like, I killed you, and these two guys are just, like, slowly walking towards him.
And it's terrifying!
It's really creepy. It's like we just, like, turned into, like, I don't know, the Twilight Zone or something.
I mean, they are just ever so slowly walking towards him, and you're like, whoa.
And he's just backing away, like, screaming, and, like, falls off the ledge that the doctor and Ian were walking along earlier, just falls off and dies, I suppose.
Which, at this point, I think the doctor has actually, in fact, passed out.
Yeah.
Because he just kind of wakes back up inside the TARDIS,
Yeah, he wakes up inside the TARDIS. Apparently, the Dido people, like, took him out, and I think they set him out. They didn't take him to the TARDIS.
They just set him, like, in front of the TARDIS, and they brought him in and were looking after him.
The doctor's all shaken up, but he's like, the Dido's people, I guess, took care of him and told you they were good.
It's so messed up, though.
And they're like, well,
We can't leave Vicky here. We gotta take her with us. And actually, there's like a scene between Ian and Barbara where Ian and Barbara are like, we're gonna keep her, right? Like, you think the doctor's gonna let us keep her? We wanna keep her. When the doctor meets up with them, the doctor's like, yeah, we're all thinking the same thing, right? We're gonna keep her. Like,
but he asks her first if she wants to come and is like, gives her this little speech about, we can have so many adventures and blah, blah, blah. He lets her make the choice this time.
Unlike Ian.
You did with your own granddaughter.
Or Ian and Barbara.
That's true. This
is the first
companion that has come along by choice. Well, I mean, I guess Susan probably came along by choice, but she didn't leave by choice.
No. I mean, I'm still not happy with it.
Anyway, I am happy that Vicky is joining up. I've seen all of the First Doctor, so I should know more about Vicky. I don't really remember much, but I mean, I remember liking her. It's kind of a blur. It's been so long since I saw...
I'm excited. I think Vicky's gonna be cool.
Yeah, I like Vicky. So far. She's cute. Seems to fit in nicely. Yeah,
everyone has a nice kind of... It's a very playful dynamic between everyone.
So, but yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm gonna join. I'll join up.
Why not? I mean, I was gonna go home, but, like, the only person I trusted was Bennett, and he killed my dad, so...
And I trusted Sandy, and you killed that, so... And then the Didos go into the crash ship, and, like, the rescue ship's like, hey, we're coming, and, like, the Didos just start destroying the ship because they don't want, like, the last time people from Earth came here, we kind of got fucked over.
They killed everybody. People are the worst. People from Earth, hell no. No thank you. Which is pretty much the Sensorites. They just keep going places and it's like, ah, no, we've dealt with people from Earth. We would just rather not.
They the worst. Vicky joins up. They fly off. The doctor doesn't know how to land and lands on the edge of a cliff. The TARDIS teeters and then falls off. And that is the cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger is the TARDIS hanging on the edge of a cliff.
And that, it's literally cliffhanger. Well, it doesn't really hang on the cliff, though. It just falls off. It just falls. This is a cliff faller. This is an over-the-edger.
All right. Okay.
And that was the rescue.
Any thoughts? Like, final thoughts?
General? Yeah.
Let's see. Things that I have to say. I'm excited for Team TARDIS 2.0. Order of things. I'm going to just say that whole line again, and you can edit that out.
It's no.
You edit your stuff out all the time.
Not all the time. Just when I'm saying stupid stuff.
I'm excited for TARDIS Team 2.0.
Me too. It's like you said that twice. What? That's weird. He's such a dog. Yeah, I'm excited for TARDIS Team 2.0. I'm excited for Vicky. And I thought this episode was really good. Sure, there's some stuff that doesn't make sense. Okay, which now I can say now, the Didos are good people. It was Bennett pretending to be Coquillion and killed everybody.
So why is there a spike trap?
Yeah. What? Why? Did Bennett set that up in his spare time? That doesn't make sense. It was just there to have a cliffhanger. That part kind of...
I will say, I feel like the quality of this show, I feel like it's been going up almost every single episode. I mean, and I was sold since, like, the first episode. I was like, yeah, this is something that I can watch. And then, like, I know that was something when we started this project that you were kind of, like, worried about. You didn't know if I could get into it. And now I'm, like, super... Now when I make GIFs for the teases each week, I'm just like cackling madly at different things.
I wonder how many fans we're losing by saying GIF instead of GIF.
You think like people are just like, nope, see you, can't have that. But yeah, I feel like, I mean, like the production quality just in that one scene in that cave with the fog, that was excellent. I feel like I've been saying that every single time. I've been like, this one aspect is just, it's better and better and better every time.
Yeah, the camera work was amazing. Just everything was on point, like visually and musically, and I don't know, it was just good. And a lot of good character moments, like the doctor and Ian just being adorkable, and Vicky fits in nicely, and they have that scene with like Vicky and Barbara and Ian.
I have a question.
It's all super nice.
I'd say that we keep getting better and better. How far away are we from the web planet?
We are 2 episodes away from the web planet.
Ah.
Well, 2 serials. I mean, it's not the next one, but the one after that.
All right.
I think we're going to have a special guest for that episode, too.
So. The only thing that I know about the web planet is that when Joe watched Doctor Who beforehand, it's basically what made him stop. That's it. That's the only knowledge I have of this episode.
I got in the middle of the web planet, and I'm like, do I want to watch Doctor Who? Now watch something else. And I just did not finish it for the longest time.
So hopefully that's not going to happen. We're going to get through it, right?
Yeah.
Together.
We're going to get through it. Like, I just got through the urge not to, like, I got through not singing Billy Joel, even though I really wanted to, because I said the longest time.
The longest time is how long it took you to finish that sentence.
I know that I've been singing, it's been a while,
oh my God,
at you so much, and it's really annoying you. So I'm trying not to
so
sing
much.
Lyrics anymore based on words that I've said.
So what does come next?
Thanks for listening to The Rescue.
Wait, for real, what comes next?
Tune in next time! When we will talk about the Romans!
The Romans!
Tony's seen some GIFs from the Romans.
All I know about the Romans is that Ian's hair is really cute! That's all, and I'm so excited!
Hey, if you guys have any questions or anything that you'd like to ask us, feel free to put an ask in our ask box on Tumblr. RassilonWatchathon.tumblr.com.
RassilonWatchathon.tumblr.com. You can go into our ask box and put things in there. Put things in our ask, please.
We actually got a question from Doc with TARDIS Fez. Doc with TARDIS Fez or Doc with the TARDIS Fez. And like he was asking this question about how the translation thing works because it's like connected to the Doctor.
But in First Doctor's stories, the Doctor's knocked out all the time, like half the time, and it works fine. And how do we think that works?
Our theory was that it works through Susan, because Susan is also Gallifreyan, I suppose, possibly.
Yeah. So she probably completes the circuit. Which is my favorite game, by the way, is the answer is this thing doesn't work because it's Doctor Who, and it's got 50 years of canon, and there's actually no such thing as canon. It's pick and choose whatever you want. But that's not like the fun answer is, I'm going to figure out a way to make it work.
So yeah, what I'm going to say is if you have questions like that, send them to us, and we'll answer them on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have any, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a question. It can be just be like, hey, like your stuff or whatever. I hate your stuff.
I hate it.
Here's why. And we'll read
we'll
it.
We'll address it.
We'll read probably. It on air. Or web. What do you say when it's a podcast? Is it on air?
It doesn't matter because it's a podcast.
On the net. On the net wave.
On the internet. The interwebs.
On your box holes.
What?
Box holes?
I don't know what I'm saying.
We're not really actually ending this, because it's kind of gone downhill for the past 10 minutes. I don't...
Thanks for listening. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Watchathon Wrestling. Again, tune in next time when we talk about the Romans.
Yeah.